Jenna Lee Hoffman.
Yes.
Welcome to the Field Soul Podcast.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
I'm so happy that you're here. We've had a few encounters before this, kind of operating in the same wellness space in San Diego. Mm-hmm. We spoke together on the Woman in Wellness panel at Bode.
Yep.
I've also attended one of your State of Sun events.
Yes.
Where we did some yoga. So I got to experience you there.
Mm-hmm.
And today you are here with us at Fieldswell.
Yes.
How are you today?
I'm good. I'm a little tired. It's been a go week.
Yeah.
And I just got back from the East Coast seeing family. But yeah, overall feeling great.
And before that, you were in Africa.
I was in Kenya, for the animal migration. So that was spectacular. Got to see the whole migration of wildebeest, zebras, all the big five via hot air balloon. So very
so
special.
The first time I ever went in a hot air balloon, it was in Tanzania.
Okay.
And they can't predict when the Great Migration is going to be.
Mm-mm.
But because it had rained the week prior, all of the animals ventured down for the water.
Yeah.
And so it was a sunrise hot air balloon.
Mm-hmm.
And there were hundreds, if not thousands, of animals running below us. And I was like, this is going to be hard to beat.
Yes. So very similar.
Yeah.
So they migrate from Tanzania to Kenya and back.
Okay.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Mm-hmm.
I really believe that's where you, when you're in Africa, you feel like, this is home. This is mm-hmm. where I'm from.
Yes. I mean, really, it is where I'm from. It's where I was
born.
Yeah.
Right. So tell us where you're from.
So I'm originally from South Africa. I was born in Durban. Mm. And then I've been here for, 5 years in San Diego.
Okay.
So yeah, parents
Incredible.
Were born and raised there, grandparents. So I have deep roots in Africa.
Is the climate here similar to South Africa?
Very similar.
Okay.
Yeah, especially Durban. So my dad was the one who actually told me to visit San Diego.
Wow.
Because between the beach and the mountains and the active lifestyle, he said, you're going to love it. And he was right.
Oh, he was right.
Yeah.
So you're building a whole brand around becoming sunshine and helping others really find what that means within themselves and come home to themselves. Tell us how that journey began for you.
Yes. So I feel like it's my whole life encapsulated pretty much. So it wasn't just, you know, one moment that I wanted to write the book. It was all these different life lessons that kind of came together.
Yeah.
And the book and the contents and the outline just kind of spilled out from me.
Wow.
One day.
Okay.
And it was when I did move to San Diego. So I was previously working in D.C. I was in the technology environment, had a very stressful job.
Yeah.
And I went from being, high performing multi-sport athlete outside, 6 hours every single day, pretty much moving my body to inside with no sunshine, corporate federal buildings.
Yeah.
And just not thriving or doing anything that my body or mind wanted. So I feel like San Diego is the birthplace of becoming sunshine, which is very fitting.
Oh, yeah.
And it really allowed me to kind of come back to my sense of self.
It's funny. I say to my parents whenever we have a cloudy day here, I say, growing up, I remember it being 70 and sunny every day.
Yes.
What is this cloud doing in the sky?
Yes.
Because I really do believe that San Diego, out of anywhere in the world, has the best climate.
It really does. Yeah.
So similar to you, after college, I moved to New York City and was working as an executive assistant to a CEO of a global company.
Yeah.
And we were in the back office of the workspace and there were no windows.
Yep.
And I don't think we realize the effect that this can have on our well-being.
Mm-mm.
And for many of us who are working really intense jobs in big cities, not only is that stressful, but then we're in this dark environment. And I think what you realized was when you were able to get out of that, from listening to your story, I think a lot of it was during COVID.
Mm-hmm.
You left D.C.
Yes, you're correct.
Went to Florida
and
realized, oh my gosh, I can't go back.
No. No, it's 100% true. And I think just having like the contrast of the city and then the sun, my body was like, wow, the shift is so drastic.
Yeah.
And then I knew that I just didn't want to feel like that anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, my skin was void of color. I was lethargic. I had this brain fog. I just didn't feel fulfilled no matter what I did, even if I was exercising.
Yeah.
Because I didn't have, the constant sunlight.
Right.
And I found that I was vitamin D deficient.
Uh-huh, me too.
And then it just kind of like cascaded into, the sun affects every single biological function.
Wow. So did you start doing like a deep dive on research when you said, I need to write a book on this?
Well, I didn't know I really wanted to write a book.
Okay.
It really started as like an internal checklist of like what makes me thrive and essentially going to help me survive.
Right.
And then that turned into the book. So I was like, why do I feel this way? What makes it so different being in this environment?
Yeah.
And the more I researched, the more I just found it was all rooted in the sun and the history and how our society has also, you know, changed our perspective of the sun and almost made it a villain.
Yeah.
And it's really not
right.
true.
We're going to talk about that.
Oh, yeah.
What were some of the most interesting findings you found when researching the effects
goodness.
Of the sun?
I could go on and on about this.
Yeah.
And that's the hard thing to always pick.
Right.
But I feel like something that's going to come back to kind of make a wake-up call for our society right now was during the Industrial Revolution, mm-hmm. we saw a big uptick in children being born with different spine and bone deformities, and people didn't know why this was happening. And the disease is called rickets, so soft bones or bone deformities. And there was this one German scientist, and he was traveling around sampling kind of different populations, you know, why is this occurring? And he was in the fields and he noticed all the children thriving, no bone deformities out in the fields, you know, working with the horses like we both love.
Yeah.
And he realized that the kids in the city who were inside, there was so much smog and pollution, they were not having any vitamin D.
Wow.
And it caused this whole epidemic.
Yeah.
And so he really said, you know what, take all these children outside, put them on the roof, and we're going to do sun baths. And that is essentially what cured them, simple and easy.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
And I feel like it's just a lesson for us today that we're always trying to, like, biohack this and make some technology to solve this when we essentially just need to go outside and see what's working in nature and then do the same thing for our bodies.
So walk us through your daily routine and how your sun exposure and sun moments come into play for you.
Mm-hmm. So I normally like to get up quite early. So probably 5 a.m., you know, 6 a.m. So right around when the sun is going to rise. And what I normally do is just a little bit of stretching. I normally make some coffee and I have my water. And then I go outside and wait for that morning sun to kind of hit my patio.
Yeah.
And I just open the door and let my little dog out. And we both just like take the sunlight into our eyes. And even if it's 5 minutes, you know, it makes a huge difference. And then I'll normally go on a walk to the beach because I'm very, you know, thankful
Amazing.
That I'm close by. But
and this sunlight, sun exposure in the morning helps, or is it sets our circadian rhythm?
Yes.
So our sleep-wake cycle.
Correct.
Let's talk about that.
Yes. So when you go outside in the morning, that natural sunlight, it will hit your eyes and then it stimulates the suprachiasmatic nucleus in the brain. And that signals to the body, okay, we need to start every single biological function.
Wow.
And it helps us to also know when, like, that sleep and wake cycle, like you said. But most people are disrupting that with, like, blue light and then red light and then not going outside and having artificial light at the wrong time. So that is the most important thing, is that 30 minutes after sunrise and then 30 minutes before sunset, that's two of the most crucial light to absorb on the skin and in the eyes to set up for better sleep and just regulate everything in the nervous system.
Imagine what the world would be like if everyone sat outside for sunrise and sat outside for sunset.
We'd all be so happy. We'd all be little balls of sunshine.
Would. It's so true. It's so true. On the other hand, many of us are rolling over, looking at our iPhone, getting those dopamine hits from all the DMs or messages or what have you. One of the things that I practice is sleeping with my phone in the kitchen.
Yes.
And that has been huge for me. And so for me, I too wake up with gratitude and take my dog Ziggy outside. Yeah. And I'm like, wow, what a beautiful day.
It's so wonderful.
You know, and then the sunset every day is just makes you so grateful to be alive when you watch that sun go down. It's like every day is a new day. Mm-hmm. It's a new opportunity to begin. And how lucky are we that we get to experience this life?
It's true. Yeah. And that was something that I promised myself when I moved from DC was to never miss a sunset.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow. That's a big promise to never miss a sunset. You never miss it.
90% of the time I don't. Even if I'm racing down to the beach, I'll grab my dog. Like, we got to make it, Junior.
Oh my gosh. I love that.
Yes.
So you're also an integrative health coach.
Correct.
And wellness coach.
Mm-hmm.
What percentage of your practice with your clients has to do with this sort of sun knowledge and information as opposed to, say, nutrition, movement, mindset, et cetera?
I think it's all woven into, especially what my client wants to work on. And that's my biggest approach, is a whole person approach. So looking at everything from their lifestyle, their relationships, their nutrition, their relationship with the sun, mm-hmm. And then different things that they want to work on.
Yeah.
But I find they're all so connected. I mean, one of my chapters in my book is the role of the sun in nutrition and eating foods that are local, that are colorful, that have been directly nourished by the sun is exactly what you should be eating.
Yeah.
So I think it's all connected. Mm-hmm. So I integrate both into my practice.
Yeah.
And then, of course, also incorporate different things like lab results and blood tests and things like that to match the data to the general feeling and that ancient wisdom that we all have inside of us.
So we all know those people.
Yeah.
They walk into a room and they're like, you're a beam of light.
Yes.
You are sunshine.
Yes.
Give me more of that. Like, whatever you're doing is working. Show me the way. What do you think it is that stops people from being sunshine?
Oh, that's a great question. So I think what I did, because different phase of your life, you know, mm-hmm. sometimes you have your nutrition movement dialed, but then maybe your emotional mental health is, you know, not up to par.
Yeah.
So I think it's a compounding feeling of that. Mm-hmm. And I think when you're setting up your body and your mind to thrive, you know, being outside, getting the right sleep, I feel like that's a big thing that most of us don't. And every day that I get older too, I notice it's harder and harder. And I'm like, oh, my tricks aren't working anymore, you know? So I think, just making sure that you're fine tuning all of the different things mm-hmm. and constantly having that self-awareness check with yourself can allow you to show up as your best self. So I think it's when you're being most authentic to who you are and not just copying what everyone else is doing or, you know, jumping on the bandwagon of, oh, this is what I should do to be successful. It's, you know, what is most true to me and what makes me me and what do mm-hmm. I thrive in doing? And then I think that really allows someone to show up light and bright and just fulfilled in their own light. You know what I mean?
What makes me feel well.
Exactly.
And sleep for me. Sleep with so many things cascade upon either a good night's sleep or a bad night's sleep.
Oh, yeah.
Like the bad night's sleep, then you need the caffeine, then you can't sleep. That, you know, it's like this whole
domino. Then I'm busting out all the biohacks. I'm like, okay, my red light and my... Right. You know, contrast therapy and my ocean time.
You're more stressed. You're more anxious. All the things. If you could just prioritize a good night's sleep, I'm telling you, it would go such a long way.
I agree. And that starts with the sun.
Mm-hmm.
So I think getting that same time of light in the eyes and outside time, I mean, it reduces inflammation in the brain. It allows your brain and nervous system to actually rest. So I think that's the biggest piece. So that's what I've focused on too, is a big chapter is on sleep.
Yeah. But the sleep, the movement, the nutrition, the mindset, right?
Yes.
As the foundation. And then it really is taking action towards becoming your most authentic self.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that sometimes is the hardest part for people.
I agree.
It takes courage to be who you really are, which sounds so so interesting because it sounds so easy, but then you have to know who you are.
Mm-hmm. And I think that also takes time to like really disconnect and like spend time just with yourself.
Yes.
Because I feel like we're so overstimulated by what we should be doing, who we're seeing on social media, who we're seeing outside, and constantly comparing that you're trying to chase this unachievable goal and persona, and then you realize it's not actually you.
Mm-hmm.
So I think... especially with me, when I misalign from nature or the sun or my nutrition, then I really disconnect from myself and I really can't get back to where is kind of my baseline of happiness.
Mm-hmm. You know, the way I think of it, I think of our bodies as a container for our spirit and our spirit feels safe to express itself in our container when we're taking good care of ourselves.
Yes.
When our choices are in alignment with how we want to feel and our own optimal functioning.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you make healthier choices, when you make choices that are rooted in your well-being and your desired future state, your spirit will be able to come alive inside of you.
I agree. And I mean, I spent a lot of time studying yoga for the past 10 years.
Yes.
And, you know, your solar plexus is your gut and that's your inner light. Mm-hmm. And I feel like when you have those gut intuitions or gut feelings where it's like related to like a person or a job, you need to trust that light, you know? And then when you really show up, I mean, then you come alive.
Yeah.
And I can also go into the whole science of, you know, the sun actually helps to increase the gut permeability and strengthen that. So there's science and feeling.
Well, you know, our gut is our second brain.
Yep.
And neurotransmitters from the food we eat communicate from our gut to our actual brain.
Yes.
And so let's get into the science behind it.
Yeah, for sure. So when we are constantly in the sun, what actually is strengthening? So when vitamin D is produced in your skin, that is only created from the UVB that we absorb from the sun. So you can't get it from red light. A lot of people say you can, you know, get the same benefits of the sun from red light, or it'll help reset your circadian rhythm. It cannot, everybody.
I'm a big red light girly. Yes. Don't hate on our Lightstim Pro panel, Jenna.
Okay? Oh, I love red light. I'm just saying do that in the sun.
Okay, great. We can do both. No, I love it.
No, red light is wonderful for, I mean, as you know, like deep cell repair and helping to soothe the body. But in terms of vitamin D production and then getting that production to the gut, we need vitamin D or a UVB. Yes.
And for all of those who are saying, who have heard, like, don't mess with the sun.
Yeah.
The sun causes cancer. Be so careful. Visor up, sunscreen up. What's your approach to stay safe in the sun when you're out there?
Yes. So I always like to get at least 30 minutes in the sun when there is kind of optimal UVB. So that, obviously, I love my sunrise and sunset time. That's really important for resetting for sleep. But then in the middle of the day, specifically 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., is the best UVB absorption. So I do have a higher melanin count in my skin, so I can stay out longer because I will also need a little bit longer to get my full production. But go out when it's safe. If you and get maximum skin exposure, so you can spend less time in the sun. You have more skin. And then cover up. So put on like a light linen top and pants, wear a hat. There's so much sunscreen out there that is harmful for us. And it's actually more harmful to wear it than not to wear it because of the carcinogenic compounds that are in the sunscreen. So I do trail run and I spend a lot of time outside. I'm currently training for an ultra marathon. So
this girl,
33 miles is what I'm going for.
Oh my gosh.
So I will be wearing mineral sunscreen and long sleeve and a hat because, you know, it's going to be a long time out in the sun.
Is there a specific sunscreen you recommend?
So I have a lot of friends who make sunscreen, which is great. My favorite local brand is Sun Mud. So it smells great and also has wonderful mineral compounds, no fake ingredients. Also some brands that have sent me product is Primally Pure, really what I love, has some essential oils in it. But anything that is pure zinc or mineral compounds, nothing that you can't pronounce and is about this long in the name, has oxy something or other, you know, avoid that. but yeah, anything mineral and then just get in the shade, you know, your shade is the best support with the sun. And you know, like eating too many chocolate chip cookies, you're going to gain unhealthy weight, you know? Same as the sun. Don't overexpose yourself.
So use your brain.
We can't blame the sun for our own negligence.
It's true. So, you know, it's easy to follow these routines and practices when we're home. Super easy for me. Well, getting a little more difficult running a business. To be like, okay, 100% of the time I do this routine every single day. Like, you got to be flexible and adaptable. But when you travel, there's a challenge to maintaining
jet lag.
The routines, the jet lag with the eating, the great sleep, the sun exposure. Do you have any tips for us on how to stay balanced when you travel or anything that you do on your travels that help you?
So I was just flying to Kenya. So that was a very long trip. And always when I fly, I'm always like, okay, I'm a little nervous because I'm not going to get enough sleep and all of that. You know, that starts to always be in the forefront of my mind. But especially when I'm traveling, I try to eat all home-cooked food or any anti-inflammatory food before I'm flying. And I'm always the person who brings like a little bag of like food or snacks or healthy takeout from
here. She's not eating the food served on the airplane.
I don't. They're always like, are you sure? And I'm like, give it to somebody else. But yeah, I've tried and it just messes up my gut. It doesn't feel good because it's all highly processed. But I'll start with my food. I will always do a lot of like self-massage or stretching. I'm, again, constantly that person in the airport who is stretching or sitting in her seat and putting her legs up, you know, yoga.
Legs up the wall.
Legs up the wall or walking, anything like that. And what else do I do? Some supplements are really great, especially like magnesium glycinate for sleep. That really helps to support. And then any vitamin C or minerals that I feel like I'm lacking when I'm traveling.
Do you drink caffeine?
I do drink caffeine. Okay. I always have a cup of black coffee in the morning after about 2 big glasses of water.
Yeah. My body's very sensitive to caffeine. Mm-hmm. So I feel like my sleep is the best when I don't drink caffeine.
Yes.
But I also love that buzz of coffee in the morning. So
I think for me, it's the ritual. I don't really feel like that much different. But I'm the same.
I love the ritual too. So I'll do sometimes a decaf.
Yes.
With foamed honey milk. Which
yes.
Is
and yeah. I love the taste of black coffee. Maybe I'm weird. I don't
need
any.
Well, when you find a really good one, I think it depends what black coffee you're drinking.
Yes, yeah. That is true. That is true.
But speaking towards, you know, packaging your own food for your travel days, mm-hmm. I went to Brian Johnson's Don't Die Summit. I'm sure you're familiar with Brian and his Don't Die movement, his longevity practice. He traveled internationally. I don't know if it was to Japan or where he went from LA, but he packed every single meal with him.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Because he's like, I don't want to risk it. You don't know what these restaurants are putting in your food. And I'm like, okay, but live a little.
Yeah,
like,
live a little. You can balance it.
Live a little. But his whole thing is like, I get in bed at the same time every night, like 8:30. Mm-hmm. I'm asleep by 8:31 because every single day I go to bed at the same time and I wake up at the same time. Mm-hmm. It's like, wow.
That is key too. So it's not only like the quality and length of your sleep, but it's also consistency. Because your body is like a clock. It wants to eat the same time, wants to sleep at the same time. It wants to do movement at the same time so it can predict.
Right.
So when we're, you know, eating right before bed, your belly is like, whoa, I thought I was supposed to be digesting now. Now we're getting more food. I thought I'd be prepping for sleep and clearing out our memory, you know. And so it likes to stay on a schedule.
But it makes sense. It's like, okay, mom, like yesterday we had like oatmeal for breakfast, a salad for lunch, a salmon for dinner. And today we're having like French toast, lasagna, and like, you know, it's just like, okay, wait, it's a system.
It's true. I mean, think about a newborn baby. Yeah. They're on their schedule. They're eating at the same time. And that helps them to grow and be, you know, having a healthy immune system, all of the above. So we're just big babies now.
You know? Well, I think to care for yourself as you would a child, because I think many of us miss that, like, love on yourself, treat yourself well. That's when you're going to feel your best.
I agree. And having that childlike wonder too.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's huge. Oh, yeah. So many people have lost that.
They have.
And that is what creates that awareness and gratitude every single day.
Oh, yeah. We think we know how it's supposed to go. But what if there's a much bigger plan for what our lives are supposed to be like, and to trust and to enjoy each moment and to be really present in each moment?
I agree. And I think just being open-minded, because for me, you know, I've grown up a certain way, or I've, you know, been taught things by my parents or close friends. And now I just stay completely open-minded.
Yes.
Obviously, I'll have my baseline knowledge and past experience, but I want someone to change my mind. And I want there to be maybe a better way to do things.
Yes. I love hearing different viewpoints. I love to be challenged.
Me too.
Show me a new way. Show me your opinion. Show me your belief. There's no one right way.
I agree.
Yeah.
And especially when someone makes a really good argument because they're really grounded in it and they've tested it.
Yeah.
Then I will switch.
Right.
You know, if someone just says, I believe this way and this is the way it is.
Yeah.
Why?
And they can't give me an answer. And it's like, okay.
Yeah. Right. Then what's the point? You know,
why are we trying to prove who's wrong or right? Why don't we just like value each individual's unique belief system?
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. I think that's the way.
Yeah.
Because we're just big knowledge sponges, you know?
We are.
That's what we should be doing.
And we don't even check with ourselves, like, why do I believe this to be true?
Correct.
Yeah.
I'm always questioning that.
Yeah.
I'm an overthinker for sure.
Yeah.
But I love a good challenge, hence the multi-sport athlete that we're talking about.
And so tell us about the thing that's five things in one.
The five things. Yes. So my athletic background started when I was very little. My dad was an ultra marathon runner. Surf ski competitor, which is a long carbon fiber kayak, essentially, in South Africa.
Wow.
Surfs, you know, 20-foot waves.
Yeah.
And also a triathlete. So when I was little, I got into triathlons.
Yeah.
Did that when I was probably 11, 10 with my brother.
Wow.
And then we got into the sport of fencing.
Okay.
So modern-day sword fighting.
Wow.
And one day we came across my coach. His name is Omar El Jaziri. He's now a very famous coach. And he introduced us to the sport of modern pentathlon. So that essentially combined triathlon and fencing.
Okay.
So it is running, swimming, fencing, shooting, and show jumping.
How long is this whole event?
It kind of would start around 8 a.m. and would end at 3 p.m.
It's all that you do all these five things in one day?
Yes. Yeah.
Wow.
It's pretty much back to back. There's no transition time.
Did you win?
The best place I got, I think, was fourth place.
Wow.
And that was at the national competition.
Wow. Congratulations.
Thank you. Miss World team. My brother made it. So I got to live vicariously through him.
Wow.
But I absolutely love this sport. Yes. I still miss it. And incredible athletes.
Growing up as an athlete teaches you so much about becoming a champion, mm-hmm. working really hard, the resilience, the dedication, what it really takes to become great at something.
Yes. No, I completely agree. And especially a sport that is multifaceted. Mm-hmm. I was a child mm-hmm. who needed to be stimulated and I was always asking questions. Mm-hmm. Even today, I can't just tunnel vision into mm-hmm. one thing. Mm-hmm. I like to pull from different things and to see how they're inextricably linked. Mm-hmm. I think that's why I loved five different sports.
Yeah.
Because it would challenge me constantly. Yeah. And I think especially endurance sports, uh-huh. it allows me to continue. It allows me to not have immediate gratification, which I feel like we all suffer from in our modern day world.
Yes.
And really have the goal in mind and pace yourself. And it's a mental game more than a physical. So, I mean, I can go on and on, but
life is a mental game.
Yes. And it's a marathon. It's not a sprint.
It is a marathon. Oh, yeah. That's what I've had to remind myself. I'm like, take a minute.
Yes. Recover and rest, too.
Right.
Because I'm like, oh, I can still push through. Oh, no, there's an injury.
Oh, yeah.
Slow down.
Here we are. I told you.
Yep. Life will be like,
I told you where this was headed.
Yeah.
You knew it.
Yeah.
Should have slowed down.
Had that lesson time and again.
Yeah.
So, obviously, I need to still learn it.
From all the work you've done with clients,
mm-hmm.
what do you think is the most powerful question you could ask them to inspire their transformation?
I think a simple one, and it's very much related to the book, mm-hmm. is what lights you up? And I think a lot of people, they'll have to really step back and think. And oftentimes it'll start as something very simple, you know, like, oh, my dog, you know, greeting me happily at the day, and okay, why does that make you feel that way? Or what's something you do, or who is something that makes you feel like you're lighting up? Because I feel like same with like the soul awareness.
Yeah.
It kind of connects to a deeper level. It doesn't just make you feel good mm-hmm. like food. It's what really makes you beam, where like mm-hmm. your face is lit up and your soul and you have energy and it's, you know, you can just like, you feel like you're building. And I think when I get deeper and deeper with that question, ask why, and then see how it's connected to other things and why maybe they're losing energy in other areas of their life, it kind of comes back to that.
Yeah. What makes you feel most alive?
Mm-hmm.
In what moments, around what people, mm-hmm. in what spaces? We go mm-hmm. back to the environment.
It's true. Most people are just living, but they're not alive. Mm-hmm. And every day, we're here for such a short time.
And we don't know how much longer we have.
Exactly.
So if today is your last opportunity to enjoy this experience, what would you do differently?
Yes. Yes. And I feel like that was a big wake-up call for me too.
Yeah.
And reason why I started my own business and moved and just started to travel and do all these things that made me feel alive and were like passions that I put on the back burner was because there was a span of about a year and a half where I was just, I lost family, friends from cancer was a huge one, freak accidents, COVID. Mm-hmm. And it was just, it was wild because they were so healthy. They were so kind. They were an add to the world. And life was just taken from them way too soon. So I said, what can I do to keep their legacy and continue their light and do things that they didn't get to do because they were either working too hard or trying to pursue something that wasn't even fulfilling them?
Yes.
So I think that that was a big shift for me. Uh-huh. Yeah. Uh-huh.
We're acting like we have forever.
Exactly.
How can you play full out in the things that matter to you?
Exactly. It doesn't have to be anything wild. You know, you don't have to, I was going to say sail around the world, but I would love to do that. you don't have to do anything wild like that.
Yeah.
But something that just makes you feel like you're making an impact on the world and the community around you, small or big, and allows you to grow and just feel connected to everything. I think that's what's being alive.
For those who don't even know where to start, or what that is. They're like, I have no idea what lights me up
mm-hmm.
or like what I would want to do. What advice do you have?
I just go and say, try anything that has ever interested you. even if it seems random,
yeah.
you know, like, oh, I want to go painting, or, oh, I want to, you know, shoot bow and arrows, or yeah. I want to go to this country. I don't know why yeah. it's calling me. And yeah. I think just trying all those random little passions or something that's piqued your curiosity,
because yeah.
you never know what will spark your purpose
true.
Or help you meet a person that maybe you fall in love with, you know, something like that. Mm-hmm.
You know, or go sit outside with yourself for 30 to 45 minutes in the
yes.
sunshine, bring out a notepad, do some introspection journaling
yeah.
on possible things that spark your interest.
Mm-hmm. And I think when you have that list, then being out in the world. But I have a few little questions after every little chapter
here. Oh, I
love
that.
Little shortcuts to sunshine. So
yeah.
if you don't know where to start, that's why I helped give people a little bit of a roadmap and
yeah.
like a little self-awareness check after every chapter.
Your answers are right here, everyone. Is there yeah. anything we didn't cover today that you'd like to bring into our conversation?
Oh my goodness, probably so much. We
yeah.
could. I feel like we have so many different connection points
we
that
do.
We could talk to the cows come
yeah.
home. But no, I would be happy to share this and just happy to be here. And thank you for making such a beautiful sanctuary and sharing with people.
Thank you for coming. Where can our listeners find you?
They can go to my website, jennaleehoffman.com. My book is on my website and on Amazon, also an ebook. And then social media, same, my name.
And how often do you have events in San Diego?
Events, I was doing multiple every weekend for a while. I put that on pause
yeah.
For a little bit because I was doing that for about 3 years as well as
wow.
retreats.
Wow.
But now I'm focusing more on specialized events, one-on-one
okay.
coaching, and yeah, specific brands.
Wonderful. Well, I'm so excited to see what else you create. I'm so grateful to
yeah.
be connected. Thank you so much for your time today.
Likewise. Thank you.